This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. New research about heart disease, the nation's top killer, is challenging some of our assumptions about its causes and leading to new approaches for prevention. Today we're going to hear from three heart disease researchers. In February, Dr. Joseph Penninger and his colleague announced they had discovered that some forms of heart disease may be caused by a bacterial infection of the heart. This theory fits in with the discovery that some gastrointestinal ulcers are caused by bacteria. Dr. Penninger is an immunologist at Princess Margaret Hospital, a teaching hospital at the University of Toronto. He's originally from Austria. He found that when the form of bacteria known as chlamydia invades the heart, the chlamydia look like proteins that are normally found in the heart. This confuses the immune system.
What we found is that there's a region of chlamydia bacteria which looks very similar to a protein which is present in the hearts of all of us and all people. And basically our theory is when we have a chlamydia infection, our white blood cells start attacking the chlamydia. But since the chlamydia look very similar to our own heart, the white blood cells are basically being fooled and now starting attacking our own heart.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. The makeup of the chlamydia bacteria is similar to the makeup of certain proteins in our heart. So our body not only attacks the bacteria, it starts attacking our own heart protein?
Exactly. That's exactly our hypothesis, yes.
Is that called an autoimmune response where your immune system starts attacking healthy tissue?
Yes, it's actually what we're proposing is that heart disease can be triggered by an autoimmune response. And similar to what people would believe, like in diabetes, multiple sclerosis. So we actually identified a similar mechanism. And we are saying chlamydia is probably a trigger, which basically turns on our white blood cells to attack our own heart muscle.
Now, have you found this in typical immune systems or only in overzealous immune systems?
Actually, what we found is there's a genetic hereditary factor which controls which animal will get heart disease or not. And the reason is because the immune systems of all of us are set up differently. This means my immune system, for example, would attack a different part of chlamydia than the immune system of another person. So the person is in trouble where the immune system attacks the part of chlamydia which looks exactly like their own heart. So it's not a really overzealous immune system, but it's a hereditary factor which controls how the immune system is reacting against the chlamydia bacteria. And if now my immune system attacks the part of chlamydia which looks identical like my own heart, then I'm in big trouble.
Now, is the presence of the chlamydia bacteria the cause of the problem, or do you think that they're a symptom of a larger problem? In other words, are the bacteria there feeding on already diseased arteries?
Yes, that's a very good question, because there were already many papers out there which claimed that there's a link between chlamydia infection and heart disease. But nobody could really say, now is the chlamydia the trigger of heart disease, or is it just sitting there like an innocent bystander, but has actually nothing to do with heart disease? So what we could actually do is we found the first causal link that chlamydia is not just sitting there, but they can actually induce heart disease. So we basically can take a part of the chlamydia, put it into an animal, and they all get heart disease. So heart disease meaning they get inflammation around blood vessels, the blood vessel walls are thickening, some blood vessels are clogging up. So we basically can dissociate chlamydia infection itself and heart disease. So we can just take a part of chlamydia, put it into the animal, and they all get sick.
Any idea how the chlamydia infection starts in the first place?
Yes, chlamydia, very common bacteria. So it's estimated that all of us will get infected with chlamydia. So there are three different strains of chlamydia, two of which infecting us through the respiratory system. So we get infections of the lung, so kind of pneumonia, sometimes very mild infections. The third one is actually the most common cause of sexual transmitted disease. So it's estimated that, for example, 1 in 10 women in the United States are infected with this chlamydia trachomatis. And so normally this chlamydia are very asymptomatic. So that means they're just sitting around in our body, don't do very much for a long time. And this is the reason why chlamydia trachomatis is the most common cause for female infertility in the United States, for example. 3 million women are infertile. So this is how we get it. It's either sexual transmitted or transmitted through the air. So basically, you can go into the subway and you can catch chlamydia infections.
Now, assuming that further studies prove this link between chlamydia and heart disease, what will the implications be for the prevention and treatment of heart disease?
Yes. So first, I would like to say people always knew there are novel risk factors. So we have always been told cholesterol, obesity, diabetes, hypertension are the major risk factors, and this is, of course, true. But people always knew 20 to 50% of patients with heart disease lacked all these traditional risk factors. So these are all these very healthy people who are jogging and drop dead of a heart attack. And so there was this huge risk factor missing, and I think these are bacteria. And what this study basically opens up is a mechanism how bacteria can induce heart disease. And on one hand, it's very scary because it means we could just get into the bus and catch a heart attack, right? On the other hand, it's, of course, a huge opportunity because if we understand the mechanism, we can actually interfere with it. So what this means concrete for people is, first, we have to define that this is in humans a real risk factor. So we have to define new tests where we say this person is infected with chlamydia, and because of this, the immune system has started attacking the heart of this person. So we can make this test. The other thing is if this turns out to be a real factor in humans, then we can actually kind of vaccinate against it. We can probably start to try to reprogram the immune system and saying we can tell the immune system, you now kill the chlamydia infection, but you leave the heart alone.
Now, this seems to fit into a larger pattern that we're starting to see of scientists finding and being very surprised to find that bacteria can be causing illnesses that we never thought they were responsible for, like ulcers seem to be caused, or some ulcers seem to be caused by a certain bacteria. Mm-hmm. And that was very surprising to find. Do you see these two findings as being related?
Yes, actually, I think the bacteria will come back to us with the vengeance. So there are now people who are claiming Alzheimer's disease is actually an infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say schizophrenia is an infectious disease. So some people say you can actually catch gallstones with nanobacteria. So I think the problem was because in classical bacteriology, so you had to isolate the bacteria, you had to grow it in the laboratory, put it somewhere else, and then you would get disease. And so you could basically establish the proof that this bacterium or virus was responsible for the disease. But with chlamydia, for example, you could never do this because, for example, you cannot really grow out chlamydia in culture. It does not work well. The same probably for bugs or viruses, which might cause Alzheimer's disease. So I think for a long time we were hampered by this classical postulates, what we have to do to prove how a disease is happening. So what I personally find really funny is when I went to medical school 10 years ago, 15 years ago, so every disease which we didn't understand was psychosomatic. Right? So our parents were bad to us, so therefore we develop an ulcer, we develop heart disease. And 5 years ago, 10 years ago, everybody thought it's all genetic diseases, and now all of a sudden bacteria coming back. So it's quite interesting, actually, how these things are coming back in cycles.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Joseph Penninger, a scientist who found a link between the presence of chlamydia bacteria and heart disease, and his study was in mice. If it does prove to be true that the bacteria chlamydia is linked to heart disease, what does that say about cholesterol? Does that say people wouldn't need to worry about cholesterol anymore, or would those be two different kinds of heart disease?
That's a very good question. The thing is, we have been told now for years, so there is a whole health industry out there which tries to keep us healthy and lower our cholesterol and lower our intake of fat and our intake of salt. And of course, it's very good to stay in good shape, right? I mean, we are staying healthy and we are running and it's all fine. But there are all these anecdotes of people who are perfectly healthy and dropping dead of a heart attack. So some recent studies actually show that salt intake, or the level of how much salt we take, does not really correlate well with heart disease. The same is probably true for cholesterol. So the studies are basically that in the United States, the incidence of heart attacks are going down, but the levels of cholesterol have stayed the same. So if there is a direct correlation between cholesterol levels and heart disease, then these two curves should be parallel, but they do not correlate very well. So this is actually one of the reasons why people are really looking for new risk factors. And this is where the bacteria are coming in, and I think we should take it quite seriously.
Mm-hmm. Your research was done in mice. What needs to be done to see if this research carries over to humans?
Yes, so first we have to establish if the same principle which causes heart disease in mice actually also applies for humans. So we can actually do this because we can put a human immune system into a mouse. We call it humanizing a mouse. And then we can establish the principle of proof, and we just have done this. And so a paper which will appear soon. And basically we can show now that the same principle which governs heart disease in mice actually works also when you have a human immune system around. But of course, it doesn't mean this is the mechanism how it's happening in humans. And so what we have to establish is that people who have been infected with chlamydia have actually white blood cells which are attacking the heart of this person. And if we have shown this, I think then we are fairly confident that this inflammatory process or this mechanism we have established in mice is actually also working in humans.
Do you have the green light to keep going? I mean, will you be using human subjects soon?
We are just a research lab. We are only one and a half people working on this project.
Oh, wow.
Just my postdoctoral fellow and myself. So we really stumbled over this because we were working on a virus infection of the heart muscle. And then we found a protein in the heart muscle, and then this protein turned out to be similar to chlamydia. So we personally, my laboratory, we cannot really move on with this because I just do not have any manpower. But I try, of course, to set up some collaborations now and give out our peptides to everybody who wants them so that people and clinicians and big centers can follow up the study now in humans.
Now, your research lab is very small. It's you and one other person. What's the next step for you in this research?
Yes. So we actually believe it's not only chlamydia which can lead to heart disease. So we are looking now into other bacteria and actually some viruses and probably also parasites which can cause heart disease. For example, it has been known in third world countries there's a very common parasitic infection of Trypanosoma cruzi, who makes Chagas disease. It's very prevalent. And people know that 30% of the infected persons will actually develop chronic heart disease 10, 15 years afterwards. And again, it's postulated it's an autoimmune disease. So we actually found some regions which look very similar. So I think it's not just chlamydia which is the trigger, but we might be up to some very interesting surprises. So we already pulled out 2-3 more bacteria which probably can do the same. So this is what we are following up now.
Dr. Joseph Penninger is an immunologist at Princess Margaret Hospital in Toronto. This is Fresh Air.